You know, it was a short week. Preparation for worship. And we've had guests at the house since Wednesday. House has been full. And cooking, singing, talking, and very little sleeping. Oh, so short sermon. I know after I preach for 45 minutes, somebody's going to say I thought it was going to be short. Our text is Jeremiah 33, verse 12 through verse 16 from the New International Version. Jeremiah 33, 12 through 16. The text says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. In this place, desolate and without people or animals, in all its towns, there will again be pastures for shepherds to rest their flocks. In the towns of the hill country, of the western foothills and of the Negev, in the territory of Benjamin, in the villages around Jerusalem, and in the towns of Judah, flocks will again pass under the hand of the one who counts them, says the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior." The word of our God. Doing what is right. Title of my message. Thank you, ushers. Recently, it was announced that the Denver suburb of Aurora has agreed to pay $15 million to settle a lawsuit brought by the parents of Elijah McClain, a black man who died after suburban Denver police stopped him on the street and put him in a neck hold 2 years ago. You remember Elijah McClain was a 23-year-old massage therapist who played his violin for cats in a rescue shelter. You remember his pleading words to police on body camera footage, "I'm an introvert and I'm just different." You also remember that we're told paramedics injected him with a powerful sedative. Elijah's mother, Sheenan McClain, said she was glad to have the agreement finalized, but noted that the work of fighting for justice for her son just makes her miss him more. She said, "The money is just the world's way of saying we're sorry, but it's not going to help heal the hole in my heart." And of course, this settlement by the city of Aurora is the city's attempt to do the right thing. And that city joins a long list of communities in this country whose law enforcement persons failed to do the right thing. Last week, the verdicts were announced in two trials, and those trials centered upon the vigilantism of individuals bent on doing the wrong thing. And the verdicts speak to the commitment of jurors and judges to do the right thing. I know when, in my imagination, if I were the lone black man on the jury for Ahmaud Arbery, I would be concerned about the process and how it would turn out, given what we've experienced in the past in this country when we sought justice. How sad it is that some leaders and folk applaud the Rittenhouse verdict and disparage the Ahmaud Arbery verdict. But I tell you, we cannot continue to send the message that folk can recklessly operate without an iota of concern for human life and concern for the rights of others. I know folk are concerned. I know we're concerned. I don't want folk coming through my neighborhood wreaking havoc and tearing up my neighborhood. You don't want folk coming through your neighborhood doing that as well. I know that. We don't want that. None of us wants that. But people ought to have a right to march and to protest peacefully without somebody, without any motivation, running down the street with a gun saying, I'm taking care of my neighborhood, and killing people on the street. Wrong is wrong, and right is right. In our text today, God speaks to the issue of justice and doing what is right. The prophet Jeremiah, who is confined in the court of the guard, finally receives a word from the Lord. It is a word of hope. It is a word of restoration. Scholars debate whether this message takes place during the siege of Jerusalem by Babylon or prior to the siege of Jerusalem by Babylon. Either way, what happens to Israel and Judah is God becomes angry with them, and God turns his face away from the city of Jerusalem. Now, you know, you might think that's not something important, but if God turns God's face away from you, that is significant. God turns God's face away from the city of Jerusalem, and the city is left unprotected from her enemies. And we know about the destruction that ensues when God turns God's face. But Jeremiah gets a word of hope from God. And what has happened is God has decided to heal the city. God will restore Jerusalem and bring security and prosperity. And so Jeremiah says, this place that used to be a wasteland will now have people in it. This place that used to be a wasteland will now have a livestock. It will be restored. God will bring it back. And Jeremiah begins with the words, the days are coming. That's an instructive phrase for the people of Israel and Judah. The days are coming. The past and the present might look bleak. The city might be considered a wasteland, but the days are coming when God will reverse the fortunes of Jerusalem. And I tell you, God says to the prophet, there is hope. Babylon has come in, but there is hope. God is going to restore what has been taken place. Hope is a good thing. You can handle a rough situation better if you have hope. You can wait amidst the storm if you have hope that the storm will pass. And even the doctor can tell you that you've got to have this procedure. But if after you have this procedure, you won't have pain anymore. You can take the procedure if you have hope. Some of us amidst this pandemic are clinging to the hope of a post-COVID future. Hope is a good thing. So listen again to what God says. In those days, and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. And I want to begin with the last portion of that verse. He will do what is just and right in the land. Doing right begins with God. God is the God of righteousness. God is the God of justice. And one of the reasons Judah and Israel fall into captivity by the Babylonians has to do with the fact that the people were unconcerned about their unfair systems of justice. They were unconcerned about the exploitation of the poor. Not only were the people exploiting the poor, even the priests representing Israel were exploiting the poor and not doing what they were supposed to do. But God is the one who initiates this notion of doing what is right. It begins with God. And so God defines the work. God, Jeremiah says, I'm going to send a righteous branch. But then God says, let me tell you the function of this righteous branch. Let me outline his assignment. And he takes the time. He says that this righteous branch will establish, do what is just and right in the land. And that word right in the Hebrew extends to several things in the Old Testament. When it talks about right and righteousness, those words speak to fair and equitable relationships that God wants among God's people. Fair relationships, equitable, everybody on the same level, everybody being treated the same way. God wants impartial courts among the people of Israel, and God wants protection of the weak from the strong. So when God is talking about right and righteousness, God is talking about our treatment of each other. He's not just talking about righteousness in the sense of not telling a lie, in the sense of not calling someone a bad name, or sense of not sinning personally. He's talking about right and righteousness as it relates to our relationships with each other, as it relates to how we connect and treat each other. So this doing what is right begins with God. God calls for systems that properly manage the affairs of God's people. If you read this chapter of Jeremiah and go on to the next chapter, you also see that Jeremiah not only talks about restoration, that God is going to come and restore, but he also talks about Zedekiah, who was one of the kings of Judah. And Zedekiah became a puppet for King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. The Babylonians, they were the ones who came in and took, captured the Israelites, captured God's people. But this Zedekiah, who was supposed to be the representative of God's people, was being controlled by the enemy, controlled by an enemy government, controlled by an enemy leader named Nebuchadnezzar. And the Bible says that Zedekiah abused his power, and he also abused the people. And he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, just as Jehoiakim had done. And the Bible says it was because of the Lord's anger that all this happened to Jerusalem and Judah. And in the end, he thrust them from his presence. Doing right begins with God. God took Zedekiah off the throne, and Zedekiah died because he refused to do what was right in the sight of God, and he refused to do what was right as it relates to God's people. Doing right begins with God. And if we're connected to God, right ought to flow out of us. There's no way you can be connected to God and wrong continually flows out of you. When you're connected to God, God is about what is right, and you will be about what is right. And this doing what is right, the writer says, will be personified by a righteous branch. The Bible says, in those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. God says, I'm going to restore you. The desolate city will become habitable. The divine intervention is now going to occur because God will send a branch, a righteous branch. God will send a human agent of righteousness. And God has to take this initiative because God can't always count on us to do what's right. Sometimes God places us in positions, puts robes on us, gives us credentials, and expects us to do what is right. But sometimes these robes make no difference. Sometimes our credentials make no difference. Sometimes we are still bent on doing what is wrong. And sometimes God has to step over us or move us out of the way and send somebody else to do what God wants done in the land. And that's what Jeremiah says. God says, I'm bringing a righteous branch. God is going to do it. God is going to make what is right happen. And this agent of righteousness will come from David's line. The venerable kingship of David is going to be restored because God will send a human figure from the line of David to be the personification of righteousness. He calls this person a branch. And I like the image of a branch. It reminds me of a felled tree in the forest, a tree that has fallen to the ground in the forest that eventually produces a little shoot. You see, when the fires happened in Bastrop, it devastated a whole acres of land. But eventually, trees came back, and you could go and look at the fire scorched land and see shoots springing forth from the ground, new life being birthed out of a bad situation. That happens in forest fires all over the world. You see fresh shoots sprouting from the ashes to send the message, life comes from death. And life will spring up from a fallen Israel because a righteous branch will come. That powerful image reminds us of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the righteous branch. That's why Christians are drawn to this passage for Advent, because Advent highlights the comings of Christ. His first coming as a babe in Bethlehem, and his second coming to ransom the world to be with God forever. God's people expect a Messiah to come and deliver God's people, and that Messiah will be the agent of God. And so Christians, remember this branch, this offshoot of Jesse from the lineage of David, and they see Christ as the agent of righteousness. But I like the fact that God says a branch is coming, a shoot from the tree of David. I like it because it lets me know that it doesn't matter how dark it gets around us, that light can come out of darkness. And it doesn't matter how dark the situation may be with an illness or sickness in our bodies. Life can spring forth out of illness. Life can come back even when the doctor said you wouldn't come back. Hallelujah. I know somebody that has had surgery after surgery. And she's not a young woman. She's an older woman. She's had this surgery and that surgery. They put something in her one day and take her out to the hospital. She's going back and she's still here. And somebody will say, well, she should have been gone a long time ago with all that she's gone through. But God has a way of stopping death from showing up. And God has a way of bringing victory out of a bad situation. So this branch shooting up from the earth, this tree of righteousness, is a sign of hope that even in darkness, God can get God's work done. Jesus is the agent of righteousness in the world. One more thing and I'm done. Doing what is right begins with God. And God says that doing what is right will be personified in a righteous branch, a human person. But I want to say this to us and then stop. Doing what is right becomes the work of God's people. Jesus is the righteous branch. He's done his work. The Bible says, in those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. God wants change, and God wants the people to live in safety. God wants Judah to be free from domination, and God wants Israel to be free from invasion from other nations. But beloved, God's vision of the world is not just spiritual and personal. We think that God's vision of the world and humanity is just our personal salvation and our faith in sending, lowering down the chariot and taking us home to glory. God's vision is bigger than that. His vision for the world is life enhancing, to enhance life on this planet, and something that is socially sustainable, so that all of the peoples of the earth can participate in the beauty of the earth, can participate in the resources and blessings of God. And God says, I'm sending an agent to make this happen. That's what the righteous branch will do for Israel. But Israel is also to become an agent for God in the world. Israel is not only a recipient of God's blessing, but also a custodian of God's message and will to the world. We don't mind receiving blessings. We don't mind receiving God's presence, but we are also custodians of God's presence. So we're not just to be on the side of receiving, we're also to be on the side of extending and sharing the blessings of gifts of God to the world. The Bible says this righteous branch will be known by what he does. You'll look at his work and you'll call him the Lord, our Savior. He will bring justice and equity for the poor and the marginalized. And we know Jesus did that. He came and brought salvation to us. He came and gave ministry to those whose backs were against the wall, the poor, the disenfranchised, the marginalized. But my question to you is, what about today? Who brings protection and safety today? How will persons and communities be protected from unfair systems and abuse today? Who becomes the vehicle for equitable treatment today? Well, I want you to know, Christ, the agent of righteousness, has an army. And that army is known as the church. That army is known as the people of God, the new Israel. That army becomes God, Christ's agents in the world. The church is the embodiment of what is right in the world. If there ought to be any people in the earth who do what is right, it ought to be the people who are connected to the church. If there ought to be people who do not steal from their neighbors, who do not defraud other people, who do not take persons' lives senselessly, it ought to be the church, the people of God, who do what is right. The Bible says in Ephesians, for we are God's handiwork, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. This Advent reminds us of the coming of Christ, but it also should remind us of the coming of the church to be the righteous branch of God in the world. In Noonday Bible study, about a week ago, we had a short debate over the strategy of preachers showing up during the Ahmaud Arbery trial. Debate center, does it help? Some say, doesn't help. Does it hurt? Does it apply pressure for these preachers to show up? Does it apply pressure for folk to do what is right? Or does it simply embolden people to remain committed to what is wrong? And then there's also the credibility of these preachers. You're going to show up and go public. Your life can't be raggedy. So raggedy that people say, you ain't no preacher. You ain't nothing but a quack. I know that's not grammatically correct, but I know how to say it the right way and the wrong way. As I thought about it over the week, I said to myself, at least one principle is important in this situation. And we already had the verdict. And that principle is the visibility and voice of the church. Because it was important for people of faith to stand up and show up and say, we want to do what is right and we want you to do what is right. The church, the people of God, have to speak up. The church, the people of God, have to bring God's presence and power to an unjust situation. We know that God is the bringer of justice, that the power ultimately belongs to God, but we too are bringers of justice. We too must do what is right. I'm almost done. I'm trying to wrap up. But during the civil rights marches and sit-ins in the 50s and the 60s, not everyone in oppressed communities was on board. Not all of the black people in the South were on board. Some did not march. Some stayed home. Some did not agree with the strategy that was being employed. But thank God, some of the marchers heard about the Lord, our righteousness. Some of the marchers said, we too are children of God. Some of the marchers said, we shall overcome because God is on our side. They brought their faith to the battlefield and they committed themselves to do what is right. I'm done with this. You might be the only Christian in the room, in the meeting. It's up to you to do what is right. Justice, equity, and fair treatment, and making sure that the strong don't stomp on the weak. Invitation to Christ is extended. And I want to say to you here, and those of you viewing us, that as Christians we believe that Jesus Christ is our righteous branch. And we believe that this Jesus is not just concerned about our reconciliation with God, but our reconciliation with each other. And he's concerned that we go out to be the presence of God in the world. And sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes the mob is angry. Sometimes the room is filled with people with different opinions. We are still called to be the presence of Christ. So we offer Christ to you today so that you can be Christ's presence wherever you are. Will you all stand with me? So deacons come. To your row and assist you as you exit. We're exiting row by row as we've been doing since we've been back. Blessings to you and your families. Good to see so many of you here. I didn't expect so many today. It's holiday weekend. We're already at 1/3 of a group attending, but thank you for coming, beloved. Oh, I got to do the benediction.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Let us pray. Eternal, we thank you for another Lord's Day and the blessed privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that on this first Sunday in Advent, we are able to hear the words of Jeremiah. Yes. The days are coming. We thank you for reminding us that doing right begins with God. We thank you for reminding us that doing right will be personified through a righteous branch, the agent of righteousness. We know that branch to be Jesus Christ. We thank you for reminding us and challenging us, because doing right becomes the work of the church. The work of Christ is our work. And now may the blessings of God be upon you. May God equip you with all you need to do his will. May he lead you forth with joy and sustain you by his perfect peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now you can exit. Jesus.